Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And a happy Wednesday to you, boys and girls. We come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
Aw, I love the duh.
Remember, you can watch the show and it's mobile friendly. So take us with you wherever you go and watch it. By going to watchda.com, that's the simulcast. The capper, Andrew Kaplan, back on the wheels of the digital simulcast. So check it out. You can watch it on your phone, on your laptop, on your desktop, your PC, or on your smart TV. Just dial it up, watchda.com.
Electronically ignorant.
How about the Buffalo Bills turning to rookie Nate Peterman as their quarterback? Tyrod Taylor to the bench. Once again, an AFC East team that is likely to lay down and make things even easier on the New England Patriots. Oh, yeah, we were in the playoff hunt, but let's quickly pivot to an unproven rookie quarterback to make sure the Patriots win the division by five games. Joining us here on the DA Show is a friend of mine, longtime columnist for the Boston Globe, also at 98.5thesportshub.com, 98.5thesportshub, my old home as well, and that is Dan Shaughnessy. Dan, good morning.
Hey, DA, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. These Nate Peterman Buffalo Bills duels with Tom Brady should go well, huh?
Well, again, people think that the mantra in Foxborough is do your job or no days off or next man up. It truly is. It's borrowed from ancient warriors. One is Napoleon, who said, never interrupt your enemy when he is making a mistake. And the other is from Sun Tzu, who I believe wrote The Art of War, which is, if you stand by the river long enough, eventually the bodies of your enemies will float by. And that is how the Patriots, I mean, they're good, but they're not this good. And everybody else, the tomato cans, they all fall down. And here we go again.
I was so surprised to see the Patriots trade Jimmy Garoppolo before the end of the season. I figured if it was going to happen, it would happen in the offseason. Were you surprised it happened during the season?
Well, I think that it reached a point where Bill didn't have any leverage. I think there was a little bit of a struggle there with ownership and the coach. I think the coach would have kept both quarterbacks and all that money, $40 million, whatever the ridiculous number it was. But I think that the threat was it would annoy Tom Brady to have a guy making all that money not playing on the bench. And I think it's way too much money to invest in one position. So ownership, I think, didn't want to do it. But if I'm Belichick, I would have stayed with that. And I think he was reluctant to part with Jimmy G.
How often does ownership stand in the way of what Belichick wants? I kind of felt like he had carte blanche no matter what he wants to do.
I think that's true, D.A., and I think that's been one of the reasons they're as good as they are, is that Bob Kraft has learned to stand out of the way. And he learned his lesson under Parcells, 20 years ago, a long time ago. So, but I think with this one, it's so big. It's so much the future of the franchise. It's so much money, and it was really a seismic maneuver for the franchise to make. And I think that, I think at that level, they do get into it. And again, this is just stabbing in the dark. I don't know, but I know Bill, he liked this guy. He felt he had found the guy, and it's just, he didn't expect Tom to keep doing what he's doing. No one did. But I still think in a Belichick perfect world, he'd have them both.
Dan Shaughnessy, Boston Globe. One of your most recent pieces outlined that perhaps Belichick sticks around now to try to chase down Don Shula. Now, that would make about 7 years from now, and he would need double-digit wins at least every single season. That is a long ways away, but who knows about a robot, a cyborg like Bill Belichick. My question is, with this trade of Jimmy Garoppolo, is there any sense in your mind that maybe this is the first sign that Belichick would retire when Tom Brady retires?
I don't think that he will. And again, the Shula thing, that's a stab in the dark. I understand how preposterous that is. But Bill's, you know, he would only be 72 years old, and we've seen guys do that. You'd have to keep winning, but if Tom could keep playing for 4 or 5 more years the way he says he can, and the competition, you continue to have, you know, these teams in your division, it might be motivation. And I think deep down, D.A., he probably wants to demonstrate that he can do this without Tom, or that he can win games without Tom and succeed at a high level. And the coaching disparity is so great in the league right now, I believe that he can do that if he were to stick around. So it, you know, and he also, there's motivation there. You know, he's a great football historian, as you know. And the only guys ahead of him now are, you know, Papa Bear Halas and Don Shula, who Belichick hates. So that would be motivation as well.
So let's try to do the math here then. If you trade away Jimmy Garoppolo, you've got to bet on Tom Brady minimum this year and next year, because you wouldn't have the replacement for him for 2018.
Right.
Do you think that the math suggests they're betting on Brady beyond 2018, maybe 2019 and 2020?
It's a fascinating question. No, I mean, you cannot do that. I mean, I understand, you know, that the rules favor the quarterback can go longer now and play later in life and all that sort of thing. But no, it's, I mean, there's reasons that you don't do it at 42, 43, 44. And I think that will eventually, I don't care how pliable Tom is or how much avocado ice cream he eats, that, you know, I mean, time waits for no man, and that will eventually catch up with them. It has to. I mean, there's a reason that, you know, I can't dunk anymore. You know, that's just the way it goes. You know, so
I didn't know you could dunk originally. That's pretty good.
Thank you very much. Yeah. So I think that they got to be thinking of drafting this year and then developing, like you say. I mean, it's just not realistic to think that you can keep doing this with a 42-year-old guy.
Dan Shaughnessy, Boston Globe. Let's look at the Boston Celtics. I can't believe they've been this good since the injury to Gordon Hayward. How much of this is a surprise to you based on Kyrie taking over, the loss of Hayward, and then also the development of the young kids? Is this a little startling to see how good they are this early?
Yeah, D.A., the whole thing really is. I mean, with Hayward, this would be surprising. You know, they have like only 4 players left from last year's team. Last year's team, they win the, you know, conference best record, and you bring 4 guys back. That in itself is unprecedented. So you get all these new guys, then you lose your, you know, blue chip free agent, you know, 6 minutes into the season. You lose the next night back to back, so they're 0-2. And they go to Philly and they were trailing in that game. I'm thinking, you know, I'll readjust this, 48 wins. We'll say 48. They go backwards a little bit. And all of a sudden, they are the story of the NBA. No question. And the showdown with the Warriors tomorrow night is a showcase showdown. But when you've got a team winning 13 in a row with what they had a concussion to Horford. You know, Kyrie broke his face, missed some time. Tatum turned an ankle. But they're so far ahead of schedule, D.A., it makes your head hurt. I mean, Brad Stevens, his greatness can't be understated. The conference is weak, kind of going back to the Patriot mantra. We know that, you know, Eastern Conference is terrible, so they benefited from that. I don't think they could beat, like, the Warriors or the Spurs on a regular basis in a 7-game series. But they can win tomorrow night at home and catch the Warriors on the road. They could go 14 in a row. This thing is, there's no end in sight. And Tatum ends up being the best rookie. I mean, Danny pulled a Red Hour back there. He had the 1 pick, but he ended up dropping down to 3. It's like the Mikhail Parrish thing all over again. He gets the best rookie and something else for it, which was Robert Parrish in the Reds' day, but I don't know if it'll be that good, but there's going to be more coming. His evaluation of talent, Ainge, is really good. They're rebounding this year. I think they're 4th in the NBA in rebounding. They were bad last year in the boards. And, you know, Kyrie is just a way better player than Isaiah Thomas. I'm sorry. He's, you know, younger. He's taller. He's more confident. He's poised. He doesn't need that chip in his shoulder. He knows how good he is. And man, he's got a handle like nobody I've ever seen.
Fantastic point. Hey, finally on the Red Sox, we were talking about Giancarlo Stanton, and I don't know if he wants to go to the Red Sox, but would it be a mistake for the Red Sox to try to trade for a guy that you might be on the hook for nearly $300 million left in his deal?
Yeah, those things, as you know, those contracts don't pay off. You know, you get 2 or 3 good years, whatever. I don't see it as a fit here, D.A. They need home runs. We all know that. And they have big payroll. They can afford it. But they don't want to part with players and make that payroll and have a no-trade clause. And the guy has a no-trade. I believe he's already told his agent that Boston's not a place, and he'd be smart to do that. David Price should have done that. It's not for everybody. We understand that. So with a $300 million contract, the fact that you'd have to give up players and you can't trade him unless he's okay with it, I don't see them taking that on as much as, you know, they'll go the Hosmer Martinez route, something like that.
Dan Shaughnessy, Boston Globe, 98.5 The Sports Sub, and friend of the DA Show, joining us here on the show. You can follow him on Twitter at Dan_Shaughnessy, and of course read him in the Boston Globe, and you can do that online as well if you're outside of the Boston area. I always love catching up, man. Thanks so much, Dan.
Thanks, DA. You're the best.
Dan Shaughnessy joining us here on the show. You know, I just want to reset my thoughts on the Patriots and trading Jimmy Garoppolo. As Shaughnessy just kind of pointed out in hysterical fashion, that the Patriots' mantra is basically wait until your opponents beat themselves. The Patriots are good, but they can allow the Dolphins and the Jets and the Bills to bungle themselves. They can allow the Broncos on Sunday night to be inept. They can allow everybody else in the league to beat themselves. And they just kind of sit on the side and wait and then go, oh, wait, we won again. But in this case, trading Jimmy Garoppolo, they now put themselves in the crosshairs of making the mistake, that they may have just made the mistake. Because, yeah, Tom Brady is seemingly immortal. But at some point, it ends. I mean, he just can't play forever. He cannot play into infinity. We know this. Can he play until 45? I mean, maybe. But are you going to bet on a guy without an insurance policy at 41, at 42, at 43? So you just traded away the insurance policy. If Tom Brady goes down with the collarbone injury that Aaron Rodgers just did, or blows out his ACL the way that Deshaun Watson just did, or any series of injuries that has befallen so many stars, a broken ankle like Odell Beckham has had, then you can't win a championship this year with Brian Hoyer. So you've already traded away that. Well, what happens if Brady suffers a concussion in the playoffs and says, nope, I saw Steve Young, Troy Aikman, Jim Kelly all play their final day with a concussion, and I'm not going out like that either. And he says, I'm out. Now, maybe they have some assurances from Tom Brady that he's not going to retire after the season if he is healthy. But obviously, health is subject to change. And what happens if you come out of this offseason and the next year, 41 years old, Brady looks shot? What happens if he looks like Peyton Manning at the end? You've traded away the window. And the Patriots have always bet on 1 year early letting a guy go than 1 year late. And now they are tied inextricably to Tom Brady to be 1 year late. Because they're not going to find Jimmy Garoppolo 3 or 4 years into his career where he was when they traded him in a draft. So the minimum is you draft the next guy this offseason, because I don't think you're trading away draft picks for the next guy. You've got to draft the next guy this offseason, and you've got to hope that Brady is minimum there for 2018 and doesn't fall off. And then even if he does and you squeeze another year out of Brady next year, you've got to get ready to start a quarterback that's only been in the league 1 year at the beginning of 2019. Now, maybe you're betting on Tom Brady being there 2 more years after this one. But once you get into that, we're confident we've got a 42-year-old Tom Brady who's going to start the season for us opening day 2019. Man, that is a hell of a risk. Again, as Shaughnessy just said, they drafted Jimmy Garoppolo thinking Brady was on his way out. And Brady just kept playing well. He just kept playing well. To the point where they had to make a decision because the rubber hit the road. But the Patriots were planning on this timing out where Garoppolo was going to take over for Brady, because at 40 years old, they said, we don't want to be on the wrong side of Brady. Now they've bet on another minimum 2 years.
It's a dangerous risk. It's a dangerous calculation. And they've always been on the right side of these things. And I think this is going to be the first time they're on the wrong side of this. When we come back, why does Coach K own Tom Izzo? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
I'm a shown up B alien now, sir. I will be calling back soon. Thank you so much, DA, from Sparkle. He'll say.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
23 minutes past the hour. DA with you. CBS Sports Radio. And remember, you can take us with you wherever you go. Simply go to CBSSportsRadio.com or listen to us on the app, the CBS Sports app. Download that for your scores and news personalized with your favorite teams. And then the left-hand toolbar, just scroll all the way down under the leagues, and you will see CBS Sports Radio. And then the DA Show every single day, 9 until noon Eastern time. Remember, you can always also download the radio.com app, Apple Music, or the TuneIn app to listen to us as well. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. 855-212-4227. Connect with us on Twitter, DA on CBS. Coach K last night, once again, beats Tom Izzo. And it's strange considering how good Tom Izzo is, how many great teams or how many good teams Tom Izzo has brought to great heights, and the fact that they're both Hall of Famers, you wouldn't think that one would own another. Well, last night, Duke beats Michigan State in a tremendous early season event where you had four top seven teams going at it. Kansas beat Kentucky in the late tilt. But that was a tremendous atmosphere in Chicago last night. Two great games, two great matchups. And in the early one, Duke gets the best of Michigan State. So now, after the 88-81 victory, Coach K is 11-1 against Izzo. 11-1. Which is just startling considering how good Izzo is. I mean, how long do these guys have to play and be great coaches to where you have an 11-1 ratio of wins? And Izzo, not happy with it, saying it doesn't sit very well with me. It bothers him every day, he said, that he can't beat Coach K. So how does this happen? Does this mean that Coach K is a superior coach? Does this mean that Coach K is a much better sideline guy? Does this mean that Coach K just owns another legend? That's how much the discrepancy is, the disparity between these two coaches? And I would say no. I would say no, this does not automatically mean Coach K is the better coach. What do you mean, DA? He's 11-1. How could he not be a superior coach?
Next time we play, they'd probably beat us by 30. But I don't. That's not a thing. You don't get any banners with a record against one school or against another coach.
Here's why. That was Coach K. Only one time in the 12 matchups did Michigan State have a higher-ranked team. As good as the Spartans have been, as many Final Fours as they've been to, as much success as Izzo has brought to East Lansing, only once between these two coaches did Michigan State have a higher-ranked team. So what does 1-11 mean against Coach K? That Coach K always has better talent. He has better talent than everybody every year. This is not to say Coach K is not a great coach, because he is. He's a Hall of Famer, obviously. He's won a bunch of titles, obviously. He's one of the greats, obviously. But Coach K also benefits from every year having the best talent. I'm watching last night on SportsCenter after the game. Scott Van Pelt asks Jay Billis, what's your big takeaways from tonight? Jay Billis says, well, one of the big things I saw was that the Duke Blue Devils are ridiculously talented. Now, I love Billis. How many times can you say that? I mean, every year, every game. I mean, if you came into every single season and did what's your big takeaway on Duke in 2013, in 2007, in 02, in 98, in 95, in 91, how many years in a row would your first takeaway be on the Duke Blue Devils? They're, quote, ridiculously talented. Izzo does more with less. Simple as that. Izzo does more with less. Izzo doesn't have the never-ending assembly line of NBA lottery picks. Tom Izzo doesn't have the never-ending assembly line of McDonald's All-Americans. Tom Izzo does get good kids, has turned out NBA players, is ranked high. I mean, this year's in the top five as well. So I'm not singing a song and saying, oh, whoa, are the Michigan State Spartans. But you can't say just simply based on 11-1 that Coach K is automatically a better coach, because we all know, including Coach K, which is why he said that, if you swap those two men, Izzo would have all the banners that Coach K has. And Izzo would be the guy that's 11-1 against Coach K. Let's face it. Izzo might be the greatest in college basketball history of doing more with less. If you swapped all of the talent and the history and Coach K's never-ending assembly line of five-star kids and McDonald's All-Americans that have come through Duke, it would be exactly flipped. Izzo would have all those banners. He'd have all those wins against Coach K. It'd be the same bit. Coach K knows that. All those coaches know that. Izzo is as good as they get in terms of getting the most out of who he has. Danny's in Alabama, listening on 740 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Dan.
Admiral Amendolara, permission to board.
Granted. What's up, buddy?
Not much, buddy. I heard you were in my neighborhood and didn't come to see me, you dog.
Well, I didn't see the flag out front. I was waiting to see free beer for DA out on your porch.
Oh, crap. I did forget to put that out. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I have a suggestion for the 12 DAs of Christmas.
Okay.
The most epic story ever told on your airwaves.
Which was your story?
My cab driving story.
For those that didn't hear it the first time around, can you give us the quick Cliff's Notes version of the cab story? Because it was great.
I was driving a cab in Huntsville, Alabama at the time, and this lady decided that she wanted to take roughly about a 400-mile cab ride. It took about maybe 2.5 hours, maybe 3 hours to get there. And once we got there, she jumps out of the car and starts whipping her brother and her father's backside right there in the middle of the front yard.
Right, right.
And if it wasn't for Smith and Wesson, yours truly wouldn't have got out of there alive.
Yeah. You had to kind of flee to save your own life there.
Definitely. Yeah. The last word she said to me was, "Don't leave me." I'm going, you're on your own. Bye.
Yeah. You know, that was a pretty amazing story. Danny in Alabama told us about the cab ride to hell. What was it, 400 miles or 4 hours?
I think it was 4 hours. I wasn't sure if it was the mileage.
And it ends with a domestic brawl in the parking lot. And she is telling him to save her, and he's like, get me out of here. Get me the hell out of here. That's true. That was a great story. That does have to be considered. We've got to go back into the archives and listen to that, because that story took a while the first time around, but it was worth every minute of it. When we return here on the DA Show, a little sound check, your best audio of the day, including more Jerry Jones as he responds to the reports of owners trying to push him out of the league. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Open now for brunch.
Hi, how are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. Oh, God.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, God. 38 minutes past the hour.
I don't even have a job, Damien.
Remember that the DA show is always available in podcast form. Just simply go to iTunes and download full episodes of the show. You got full hours, full episodes, full interviews, whatever it is that you want. It's on iTunes. Simply search DA and CBS. Lenny tweets, DA, what if Brady retires this year? The Pats sign Kirk Cousins for the similar cost to Garoppolo. Both products of throw-it-deep QB camp, where Christensen teaches quarterbacks basically to be like Brady. Pats get a future quarterback and a pick. If Tom Brady is going to retire this year, then he definitely has alerted the Patriots of it. And the Patriots have their guy in waiting, which is why they would trade Garoppolo. But my guess is that Brady is going, I've got no plans on retiring, you guys. None. So make alternate plans because I'm here and bleep you guys. Because if you knew Brady was retiring, the best thing you could do is hold on to Jimmy Garoppolo. He's been in your system. He's younger than Cousins. You like him. You trust him. He's ready to go. But what Brady is saying is, I ain't going anywhere, you SOBs. So do with it as you will, but I ain't going anywhere. But it is a dangerous gamble that the Patriots are obviously making on a 40-year-old quarterback. And the Patriots are in a bit of a, it's a Teflon Don mode, where you can't criticize them because everything works out. Now, I lived this life for 5 years working in Boston. You'd sit there and they'd lose a game to the Dolphins. Or their draft pick wouldn't end up being a star. Or they'd trade down out of the first round. And you would swear they blew the pick because there was a guy there that'd be an instant impact guy. And then every year, they go 12-4. And every year, they win the division. And every year, they go deep into the playoffs. Every year, they go to the AFC title game. And so the only thing you can really put your hands in is if they won one more game to have home field advantage through the playoffs instead of going on the road to Denver in the AFC title game. Or if one play went their way in the Super Bowl, they would have beaten the Giants each one of those two times. That's the only thing you can really get your hands around. And so the Patriots are invincible in this way. You can delve into the minutiae on a daily basis, but ultimately you know at the end of the season, Belichick will be borne out to be right. And even if he's not right, Brady ends up covering up for whatever small things Belichick is wrong on. So in this case, guess what Patriots fans do? Well, we trust in Bill. In Bill we trust. I guess he knows. And you can't sit here and say Bill doesn't know because he's got a track record of 15 years of knowing. But what happens if Brady breaks his collarbone? What happens if coming up this weekend, Brady suffers the same exact injury as Aaron Rodgers? The Patriots can't win a Super Bowl this year. And if that forces Brady to retire or he's never the same after that, it's the biggest blown-up cigar in your face of all time because you had the guy there. But what do you do? There's no evidence over the last 15 years that the Patriots have botched anything majorly. So you just go, well, I guess they're right again. I guess they'll be right. Who knows? Whatever. They're never wrong. Meantime, look like the Bills for the first month of the season might be a contender to the AFC East. It's not even Thanksgiving yet, and they're going to Nathan Peterman. So
Here you go, red carpet. Roll it out. The Patriots are going to the AFC playoffs again as division champions and hosting a playoff game. You realize since Brady took over as starting quarterback in 2001, the Patriots only haven't won the division twice. 01. Do you even remember what you were doing in 01? This is 16 years ago. This will be another division title, obviously. They've hosted a playoff game every one of those years. Since 01, twice, and one was the year Brady was injured. The other time that they didn't win the division was 02, the year after they won the Super Bowl. So Tom Brady hasn't not won a division since 2002. He has had a home playoff game 03, 04, 05, 06, 07, 08. He was injured 09, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, and will happen again in 17. I mean, can you... What do you do with that? And the Bills are like, and here's Nathan Peterman, everybody. Let's get to your sound check.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Jerry Jones with his weekly spot, 105.3 The Fan in Dallas on Sean and RJ. Answering reports on owners trying to push him out.
I've had not one inkling of communication from the league office or any owner that would suggest something that laughable and ridiculous. If somebody is asserting that or thinking about that kind of thing, they haven't. They're not knowledgeable on how things work in the NFL.
So let's cut through the chase here. Are the owners going to use the nuclear option on Jerry Jones to try to force him out, try to force him to sell, try to force him to step down like the NBA did with Donald Sterling? No. Nope, nope, nope. He's not going to be forced to give up his team. Are the other owners PO'd at him? Absolutely. Did you see it on Sunday with Arthur Blank refusing to shake Jerry's hand when owners in this spot are always, especially for the cameras, good to see you, slap you on the back, how's business, good to see you here, welcome to my brand new Taj Mahal. I mean, Arthur Blank could have easily done that with Jerry Jones, but he is upset, as are the rest of the owners, at Jerry going rogue, threatening a lawsuit, rattling the cages of businesses like Papa John's, and basically trying to take everybody down. It's the crabs in a barrel routine from Jerry Jones. If I'm going down, so is everybody. I'm grabbing and clutching and bringing you all down with me. If Ezekiel Elliott's going to get suspended, I'm bringing all you fools down with me, which is the height of ego, which is the height of narcissism, which is Jerry in his old age getting nutty. I mean, he's always been nutty. He's always been completely consumed with being Jerry Jones. But now being a Hall of Famer and getting up there in age, I think he's getting even more so because of the power and the influence that has come out of this league and through his offices. And Jerry Jones was part of the unanimous vote of the owners in the offseason to extend Roger Goodell. Okay? So before the season began, Jerry Jones signed off and said, extend the man. Keep him as commissioner. He's making us all money. We're good to go. And then Goodell came down hard on Ezekiel Elliott, and suddenly Jerry Jones is going, look at how many mistakes he's made. This is a mistake. The anthem he handled poorly. Bad leadership. He doesn't need all these perks. You know what? Get him out of there. Boy, what changed? And you want to know where the report came from of Roger Goodell asking for $50 million, a private jet, and health care or a health insurance plan for the rest of his family? It came from the Cowboys. Of course it came from the Cowboys. This is Jerry, who has the ears of his minions in the media, and he'll float this.
Guess what you do in negotiations? You ask for the world and you know you're not going to get it, but you hope you get maybe one of the things. If I was in any type of negotiating leverage to ask for a private jet, $50 million, or insurance, or whatever that was for the rest of his family for life, I'd ask for it too. And then I'd wait for the NFL to say no. But somehow it's, oh, well, Jerry Jones couldn't believe those types of requests. This is just crazy. It's just crazy. This is ego. Mark Cuban said, pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. Jerry Jones has officially become a hog. And now the other owners are PO'd and they want to knock him down to size. And they wouldn't mind cutting off an ear for soup, cutting off a little hoof for some soup as well. Maybe a little ham hock here or there to throw on the grill. They wouldn't mind that at all. They're not going to actually take away the franchise from the hog Jerry Jones. But do they feel he's getting real hoggish? Yeah. He's now covered himself in slop. He's eaten 15 different corn of the cobs. And he's just snorting and rooting around. And he's getting real obnoxious, pushing everybody else into the barn. Or out of the barn. He's become the hog. Marvin Lewis, finally, after years of not winning a playoff game, might finally be on the hot seat as he answers a question about Jeremy Hill needing ankle surgery.
Jeremy thinks he needs to have ankle surgery.
Were you surprised by that?
Yeah, I think I would be a running back that I think he's consulted a couple physicians. Both said that this could something that could wait until after the season, and he just felt like it was causing him too much discomfort. Well, I don't think he had any instance of it since this August when he got, you know, he rolled his ankle in training camp, but that's the only instance he had this fall.
So Jeremy Hill dropped a third on the depth chart and then said, you know what? I need ankle surgery. Well, looks like you've just earned your slot into the Martellus Bennett Club of Quitters. The moment that things stop going well, I'm out. See ya. How many guys this year started complaining about playing time? TJ Ward did. Joe Mixon did. Martellus Bennett, Aaron Rodgers goes down, I'm quitting. LeGarrette Blount a couple of years ago, not enough touches, I'm quitting. Jeremy Hill, third of the depth chart, I'm quitting. This is what happens when you have raised a generation of athletes that have been celebrities and coddled since the days they were 14 years old. These guys get drafted, they get recruited when they're juniors and seniors in high school, really sophomores and juniors. They get to college and they have TVs in their locker room, in their lockers. They've got video games and slides and everything else that they want at the practice facility. They've got tutors. They've got jets. They've got tremendous hotels. They're treated like ballers in college. And then they get to the NFL and maybe something goes wrong. And they go, I'm not used to this. I don't really think so. I'm good. I'm going to get that ankle surgery, man, because we ain't doing nothing this year. Oh, we don't have Aaron Rodgers? I'm good. I'm quitting. I'm not getting the touches? Sorry, man. I'm out of here. This is unfortunately what we have reaped. Now, understandably, there are a lot of athletes out there that don't feel like this. But there is also a larger group than ever that have been treated like princes with high-end technology and all the money that is flush into college football, and then get into the league and they're like, man, I ain't doing this. Nah, man, you do it on my time, my way. So Marvin Lewis, I mean, he should be out of here by the end of the season, but the Browns don't ever want to fire him. I don't know how you can keep him, but it's the Bengals. I'm calling the Browns the Bengals, the Bengals the Browns, which tells you all you need to know about the Bengals. And Chuck Pagano on Jacoby Brissett in concussion protocol.
He was going through the protocol. Scotty started warming up as soon as, Jacoby came out. So he went through the protocol and passed it and, got back out there in time to run that series. You know, so we were fortunate the way that things worked out, and Docs did a great job, and he went through proper procedures through the protocol and got back out there.
I mean, I know he got hit real hard and he was holding his head. And he went limp on the field. But I told Jacoby, head injury can't eat you. It can't eat you. It can't eat your brain. It's not a sea serpent that can just jump up and eat your brain. So he got back into the huddle, and we were real happy about that. And Jacoby Brissett went through the proper protocol.
The protocol.
Is the protocol getting a concussion and coming right back on the field? Is that kind of how the protocol goes these days?
The protocol.
Right. And that is your sound check. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. Look, the concussion protocol can be a joke. Because while NFL teams and players are taking it more seriously, both sides need to still take it more seriously. If players are going to fight to be out there after concussions, it doesn't help. And if doctors or the team or the coaches want to defer to the players, that's not going to help either. And so we're still caught in a place where, well, nobody really wants to come out of a game, so let's let them go back in. When we return, can Ohio State do the backdoor again?
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.